Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And about 3 weeks ago, at least feels like 3 weeks ago, I spoke to the newly appointed Shlicha in Cape Town, Batya Shmueli. Interesting, interesting lady. Loved the fact that she was an Ethiopian Israeli. I love the fact that she's representing the state of Israel here in South Africa. Very, very difficult to point fingers and accuse one of being an apartheid state when your representative is a black Ethiopian woman. I absolutely revel in that fact. And if we thought that Batya in some way was multicultural or interesting, just wait till you hear her husband's story on the line. And what a pleasure it is to have you with us this afternoon, Het Shmueli. Shalom lecha.
Hi, hello, how are you?
I'm most well, and I'm very glad to be speaking to you. And I think you probably have created the most multicultural family in the universe.
No, don't go like this. Most of Israel is like this, you know, it's a very mixed culture from all around the world.
Okay, so let's delve into that, because you say most Israelis have got an element of mixing. It's interesting because I'm watching at the moment an Israeli television series called Malkat HaYofi Mirushalayim, and back then, pre-state days, already there were issues between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, and you know, it's quite incredible. But your story, I mean, talk to us about yourself before your marriage. Tell us about your family and your parents.
So my family, actually, they made Aliyah from Israel. My father came from Iraq, which is an Arabic country, so I can say I'm like half Arabic in a way. And my mother came from Romania in the age of, she was 20, and my father was like 10 or 12 when he came to Israel.
That was not common.
In the 60s.
Yeah, that was not common. That was not common in those years for Ashkenazim to marry Mizrahim. How did that work between the families?
Yeah, it was quite rare. There was even a television show, you know, that they showed them. They were not the only one, but when I was a kid, there was like a serial that they did about like five or six couples in Israel. They have mixed marriages, you know, but now it's so common, you know, like everybody's married, you know, and their cultures are so mixed all over. So as a child, you know, I didn't see any difference, but I can tell you as an adult, it's very interesting because you live in a very mixed culture. You know, each one came with his own traditions and roots from his customs from his country. So it's like two different planets, you know. The father and the mother, they came different approach to life, which is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It gives you a very, very wide range of thinking.
I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. I'm just wondering, you must have had grandparents who spoke Yiddish on the one hand and other grandparents who probably spoke French or Arabic on the other. What food did you eat in your house growing up?
With the food, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Or just the spirit?
Food. Ochel.
Food is all over. You know, my mother, she's an excellent cooker. She's Romanian.
Uh-huh.
But she studied like the Iraqi food and mixed from all around the world. She likes to cook. So food was always a pleasure in that house, in our house as a child. It still is, you know, when I go to my mother and the grandchildren. Just ask my grandchildren like about the grandmother. They're missing when I'm here in South Africa. They say, now we're cooking. You want to go in and eat, you know, in a house.
So that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if you grew up eating gefilte fish or chrami. Or if, you know, you were eating cholent.
It's like more Moroccan style. No, it's like Iraqi food and gefilte fish I eat as a child. But no, today I cannot eat it anymore. The new gefilte fish now is a sushi. You know, everybody moves to the sushi, you know. It started to disappear from the planet slowly.
It's far, far better. And then tell me, growing up in Israel in those days, apparently you didn't have the tightest connection to your Judaism. Would that be an accurate comment?
I grew up in an artist village in the north of Israel, in the Carmel Mountain, a very unique village, very special. You know, it's a community that artists live there and create many things. It's like a village with 200 families. Mm-hmm. My father himself was a landscape sculpture. We did many big monuments in Israel, all around, that sadly we lost him in a very young age. He was 53 years old.
Wow.
But he lived the house life like 100 in all the projects and the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 21, I lost him. And it was just after my military service, and I spent a while in South America.
Yeah.
I came back, and I started to work in a studio, and finally I find myself developing myself as an artist and a sculptor myself as well. It was very interesting because I built huge projects myself all around Israel and even around the world. But in part time of my life, I felt that I need some time to take off and to travel and see the world. I was very interesting in different cultures around the world. And I found myself in this continent, in Africa,
yeah,
which I stayed for 2 years. And 1 year of it, I stayed in Lamu Island. Maybe you heard about it. It's in Kenya, in East Africa. And it's a very Muslim place, very Muslim place.
Interesting.
I lived among the Muslim society for a long time. Like one of the families, they really adopt me, you know, in a kind of, you know, adoption. You know, it's not like adoption, but I become like a part of the family in a way. And it was very interesting. I studied a lot of their life. I was very curious about that because, you know, Israel is very mixed culture, but we don't merge so much.
Yes.
Between the Jewish and the Muslims. Even I have very good Arabic friends in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But not, you know, sometimes when you go to travel, you see the world, so you're more open to other cultures. It's always like this. And so I've been there. And over there, I can say it was a big opening for my Jewish identity there by living with a Muslim. It was very interesting in a way, you know, that it happened with them, staying with them together. As well, I traveled in a very unique culture in south of Ethiopia. I lived with some nomad tribe for a week. You know, it was a very interesting culture for me. It's like getting into time machine and going backwards in time, living with people that lived like thousands of years ago that people used to live. And you don't believe that in this modern life today, in the year of 2000 and something, people, their present life, it's what we imagine as the long, long past history, you know, and this is the reality today. It's amazing. And to have the privilege and go just to take a ticket flight or just to travel in the bushes and the jungle for a while and actually go and live with them, it was amazing experience for me. I felt like a return to the basic of the world, in a way, before all the material life, without the internet, the computer, and like people live completely different life than what we use now in our daily life.
I'm just very concerned that we really don't have much time this afternoon. So much I want to ask you. So let's just fast forward a little bit and you go back to Israel. I presume you meet Batya. You marry this Ethiopian Israeli. How does Israeli society react to a marriage of that nature?
It's great. Israel is very open, you know. You know, there's many ideas in South Africa, what is Israel, and there's many confusion, or we've been blamed for many unjust things that have been said about this country. We struggle with a lot of challenges in their daily life and doing a lot of great things and value on this planet. And one of them is the mixed cultures, you know, the Ethiopians, they're just like anybody else in Israel, you know.
Well, you say that, but if we look back, I think it was a year and a half or 2 years ago, there were very significant riots happening in Israel on the part of the Ethiopian Israelis, feeling that they were discriminated against. I mean, things are not all perfect.
They felt it with justice, you know. It's not something that we can say politically or from the head of the government goes like this. Mm. There were some cases, police cases, with few Ethiopians that happened that really rise up to fear and anger that took everything out with a lot of justice, that there was a lot of pain around it. There was a mistaken behavior to some young people, just like what happened in America, you know, in a way. But it doesn't really affect the daily life that the Ethiopians live in Israel.
I
wouldn't even call them Ethiopians. They're just like citizens, like anybody else. You know, this is
I don't know.
But
I became a South African when I lived in Israel. That's just what Israeli society does to you. But I look at the positives, and I look at the fact, for example, that the celebration of Sigd has been thoroughly embraced by Israel. It has now become mainstream, has it not?
Yeah, since 2008, it's actually an official holiday in Israel. It's been celebrated in all schools in Jerusalem. It's a huge event, you know, and even here, we did in South Africa, we made a Sigd week. We did many events in Cape Town, and even small in Johannesburg, as I know, you know, the Shlichim there did great job, for what I know. Even Batya came from Johannesburg. We just came back from Johannesburg. We've been there a few days. Last week in a seminar.
So let's turn to South Africa. You arrive in South Africa representing a country which, as you've seen in the past 2 days, the issues with the South African government and Israel. Did you expect that there would be the kind of approach taken by the South African government that you've experienced in the past 2 days? And I'm referring, of course, to the participation by Miss South Africa in the Miss Universe pageant.
I think somebody's leading this issue, you know, and the BDS makes a good job around it, you know, like trying to raise the subject and then make like a big, we call it a storm in a cup of tea, you know, that's mm-hmm. what they say in Israel. I don't know if you have this pronunciation in English. We say a storm in a cup of tea, like just yeah. making a storm or nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. I'm not aware of the South African politically issue so much that I can give my opinion on the government. So I have no idea how much pressure it's been pushed from all sides. But for sure, somebody's pulling the strings there to make a problem. I feel really pity for the young lady. She's great. Yeah. 70 countries coming there from all around the world, coming from Israel from many other aspects. I haven't heard them about talking about other countries or problems that they have with other countries. For some reason, they just choose this topic to make problems around it. And I'm sure they will find a new one next week or another issue. Of course, the Miss Universe is like a big example that you can make a problem around it.
We've got less than a minute until I've got to go to news. I just want to know, when you arrived in Cape Town, did you ever think you'd be back in Africa with you and your family?
Ah, it's wonderful. I was wishing to come back to Africa. I love this continent. I always love. I love the culture, I love the people, I love the mix, variety of people. And if I want to come back a little bit to the last subject we talked, that yesterday I was driving from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and I was listening to the radio, and they talked quite a lot about this Miss Universe, and they asked people to give their opinion about the thing. People were sending WhatsApp and calling and recording themselves. And many of them were positive to her. They said, just leave her alone, you know. Of course, they gave some negative issue, but people were extremely, like, overreacting, like, all the bad negative about Israel himself. But most of the people say, hey, just let it be, you know. There's so many problems in this country. Why are you stuck to the young lady?
It's 5 o'clock.
We have opportunity to show us.
I have to leave it there, but it's been an absolute joy to speak to you. I'm so glad you and your wife are representing Israel here in South Africa.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And we'll touch base again. You certainly have your work cut out for you, that is for sure.